Name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
When I looked at the lectionary readings for Advent this year and saw that we got 2 weeks in a row of John the Baptist readings, I thought, wow, Christmas has come early. Everyone always says, can we hear more from that crazy guy in the desert who wears camel hair clothes and eats locust and wild honey? But sometimes the Advent lectionary is like the church's white elephant gift exchange. If you can't give away the reading to another preacher, you're just stuck with what you've drawn. And that was me this week. So here we find ourselves, deep into December, a week from Christmas Eve, and still no mention of Jesus, not even the promise to Mary. Just a lonely man standing in the wilderness, telling us to make straight the paths and prepare the way. As I thought about this week's reading and my impatience for something a little more Christmassy in nature, I remembered a conversation I had my first year as a priest. At the church I was serving then, one of my duties was overseeing the 5:30 Sunday evening service, which met in the youth center and was promoted as a more contemporary come-as-you-are service, complete with a 5-member band. I worked fairly well with the band leader, a guy appropriately named Christian. We had similar backgrounds, both having grown up in evangelical traditions, but having left them in college and eventually finding our way to work in an Episcopal church. We were preparing for Advent and sat down together, and he asked me when in Advent we could start singing the normal Christmas carols during the service. And I said, how about that time in Advent when it actually becomes Christmas? He said, the songs are already being played on the radio and people expect them. I didn't really grow up with the liturgical seasons and that tradition, so I don't really understand the point of all this. Well, that was exactly the opening I needed. Because just having graduated from seminary the summer before, I was prepared to explain to him in what I assure you was a very thorough and theologically astute way, making note of all the historical precedents and liturgical reasoning, that the season of Advent is where we wait expectantly for the coming of the Christ, so we don't sing songs about baby Jesus already being with us. I went on to tell him how we have these wreaths with the 4 candles, all representing different things that help us wait expectantly in the season, and the importance of the colors, and that waiting was good for our souls. That might have been a little heavy-handed, I'll admit. And so we just put off singing Christmas carols in church until the actual Christmas season, and that about the only Christmas carol I could think of that would be seasonally appropriate was O Come, Emmanuel. When I finished my intellectual tour de force of all things Advent, Christian was, shall we say, nonplussed by my very erudite mini-lecture. He looked around to make sure no one was standing too closely, and then leaned in like he was going to tell me the secret about Santa Claus, and said, now I don't want to offend you, but you Episcopalians know he already came, right? Baby, manger, angels, wise men, gospels, all of it already occurred. Jesus came. So in the carols, we're singing about things that have already happened. Christian was right, of course, in a way. God has already come into our world. We proclaim it all the time. None of our sacraments would make any sense if we didn't think God was already among us. And yet, we still live waiting for that to be fully realized. It's the same way that we acknowledge that the resurrection has already occurred. And yet, at every funeral, we await that reality to become fully realized also. Jesus already brought the light of God into the world, and yet we still live too often in the reality of darkness. Advent is the time of deep tension between the present experience of darkness and the very real hope of light. It's about the courage to sit in the darkness and still believe most profoundly that light is coming. It's a time to remind us how we can live in a world of anger and hatred and still proclaim that love endures. And Advent is when we try to do it in a way that doesn't make us sound like a crazy man standing in the desert yelling about the one who is to come. It can sound crazy in today's world to proclaim even the most basic tenets of Christianity. For instance, I know that the fear of gun violence is real, and I'm sometimes less sure about the promise of peace. I know that every institution seems to be failing at the moment, and every leader giving us reason to be skeptical, and faith can seem like a scarce commodity, if not downright naive. I know that anger and hatred are pervasive, whether they be in the forms of insidious sexism and racism that we've seen called out in recent months, or simply the demonizing of people who disagree with us as a regular way of doing business. And it seems like love conquering all is a pipe dream. Advent is the time when we recognize the full weight of the darkness and still proclaim our hope in the coming of the light. Advent is about that tension between anxiety and hope. Brother Curtis from the Society of St. John the Evangelist said recently that hope is simply converted anxiety. By that, he didn't mean that anxiety isn't real, that it was a lack of faith, or anything vaguely like that. He meant that anxiety is the very real feeling of sitting amongst the darkness and feeling that we might be overwhelmed. And that what it really needs is for someone to help reorient it, the very situation, toward the light. To give that person the hope that there is a limit to the darkness and its end is light and love. What our overly anxious world needs is John the Baptist reminding people of the ancient promise that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Salvation means healing and wholeness in the Greek. What people need is someone who is willing to walk into the darkness and hold their hand, and who in that place can remind them that the promise of healing and wholeness is real and point them toward a light of that future reality. We don't rush straight to Christmas because it would fail to acknowledge the reality of the darkness of our world. That is the lived reality for so many people. And we would also miss out on the yearly reminder that we are to be the ones that point people toward the light of Christ. We need the practice of lighting our Advent wreaths and watching the flames grow each week. We need the repetition of saying the Advent prayers each day. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. We need the practice because we are called to become the ones who will go into the world and make people believe in the miracle of Christmas, in the reality of God among us. It takes work, it takes practice, and it takes steady reminders to get us there. But that's where we must go. We must be the ones who comfort those who mourn, who go to the brokenhearted and offer to bind them up, both their weary souls and their wounded hearts. We must be the ones who set people free from what's holding them captive, who can honestly proclaim good news to the oppressed, and who can go to the places of ashes and make new life a reality. We have the season of Advent because Christmas as a holiday is fun and everyone loves it. But Christmas as an idea that God has truly come among us can seem far-fetched to many and a downright cruel joke to some. And we need some time to prepare, to be reminded that in a crooked world, we need to help make the path straight so that others might actually be able to see Jesus coming into their lives, might know that what that's possible to look like and believe and begin to hope in it again. That's what Advent's for. And it's important as a season because we need the time and the reminder to get ready to proclaim the light and love of Jesus among us. But we're deep into Advent, and Christmas waits for no one, so it's time to get ready. The world knows that the darkness is real. What it needs is a people to help it believe in the light again. People everywhere live in anxiety. What they need is a community that can help reorient them toward hope. John the Baptist began the work of pointing towards the Christ, but it's ours to take up now. It is our work to do so that in the end all flesh may see the salvation of the Lord among us. Amen.